یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، بلا جانے کیا جا مومنہ عالم، بلا جانے کیا جا مومنہ عالم، تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر، مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر، ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، مدینہ مدینہ، بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ، یہ شام مدینہ، مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ، نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چہوگی، نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چہوگی، جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ، نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چہوگی، جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ، یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ
الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاة والسلام على سیدن المصطفی صلی اللہ علیہ وعلى آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا اما بعد فقد قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایہا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد وبارک وسلم وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. This one car blocking. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ulama ikram, respected brothers and dear sisters at the madrasa. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent him to this world with a message. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to this world with a message. And that message was not that we just celebrate his praises, we take his name on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, or we have some kind of celebration. That was not the message. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, the message that he brought was for all mankind until the day of Qiyamah. And that was that we should recognize our Creator, we should recognize our Rabb, we should recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's power, glory, might. We should connect ourselves firmly with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and become deserving of Jannat in the Akhirat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was rahmatul lil alameen. You and I, we have heard many, many times the verse of the Quran Sharif, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So we all know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a mercy unto all the worlds. To understand Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seerat, it is impossible in a few minutes. The most difficult subject to speak on is the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If somebody says speak on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is the most difficult subject, because how are you going to cover the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a few minutes? Yes, you can speak on a certain aspect of his life, and then too we cannot do justice. So in the past, always that has been my habit, that I speak on some aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, whether it is forgiveness, whether it is his mercy, whether it is his truthfulness and honesty, some aspect of his life, or his ibadat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life covered every aspect. So that had been my habit, but tonight it will be a mixture. Whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts into my mind, even if you have heard it a dozen times or plenty of times, but I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspires me with something that is beneficial for me and for you and for our sisters also who are listening at the madrasa. So since we give talks in different places and over the years, so we cannot remember what was said here and wasn't said here. But since our condition is this, that after listening to the same Quran and the Hadith many, many times, we still haven't got that noor in our hearts. We cannot take qasam in this masjid and say that after listening to all the bayans and after listening to all the speeches and after attending all the seminars and conferences and after listening to all the programs or attending all the programs in which discussion took place on the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his message for mankind, we have now changed our lives and we have got that noor in our hearts, that we are so firmly connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that nafs and shaitan cannot pull us away. We cannot take qasam and say that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that the sun shone as brightly as it shines today. As brightly as it shines today, it shone also in the time before Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. It's not that the sun has got its brightness today, but there was darkness at that time. The sun shone as brightly in those days prior to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam coming to the world as a Nabi as it shines today. The temperatures reached the same 50 degrees in Saudi Arabia or in the Arabian Peninsula and in many other parts of the world in summer months as it reaches today. It lit up the entire world The sun, when it shone, it lit up the entire world. But it failed to light up the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people which were dark, that sun could not light up those hearts. The darkness in those hearts, it remained. In fact, day by day, there was more and more darkness creeping in. In the same way, the full moon, with all its brightness and beauty, was there in those days. It put sweetness into the fruits of the trees, and it lit up the night. But in the same way, it failed to cause or bring about any change in the hearts of the people. The darkness in the hearts remained. The people in the time before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they may not have had sophisticated detergents like we have. They did not have the washing machines that we have. But they also had some kind of detergents and some kind of soaps and some kind of powders which removed the dust and dirt from the clothes. Because we cannot say that those days the garments did not get dirty. We know that these soaps existed from thousands of years. So therefore, they removed the dirt from the clothes and from the bodies. But that dirt which was on the heart, that dirt of oppression, of tyranny, that dirt which was on the heart of pride, of arrogance, that dirt which was on the heart of jealousy, of malice, of greed, those soaps could not remove. And those detergents could not remove. The people were exactly the same. Because all these were material things. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created the sun to give us some light, the moon to give us light, and in the same way these soaps and other powders, man manufactures them to remove the dust and dirt from the clothes and bodies. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with that light which shone so brightly that it lit up the hearts of the people. He came with that detergent which washed the hearts of the people. He came with that light which removed the darkness from the hearts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam left Makkah Sharif, everything became dark. Everything became dark. And when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered Madina Sharif, everything lit up and everything became bright. So which darkness was he talking about? Does it mean that when he left Makkah Sharif, then the sun no more brightened Makkah Sharif? So this is the darkness that he was talking about, the darkness that had entered the hearts. To understand the condition of the people before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam nubuwat, it is so difficult. But in present times, with what happened in Bosnia, in Serbia, at present in Kosovo, and in many other parts of the world, it has become a little easy for us to understand that when people become animals, then what their behavior becomes. That they can have degrees, chains of degrees, and they are presidents of countries, but they can see mass graves of people, people being slaughtered, their necks being chopped off, and mass graves. For what? For no sin except one, that they are saying that they are Muslims. That was the condition before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, or after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invited towards deen immediately. So before his time, killing, murder, gambling, rape, adultery, and all these things were like routine. Nobody took it seriously, as if anything was seriously wrong. And there was nobody that could fight, and nobody could stand up and speak against these type of injustices that were prevalent. The incident which you have heard, and there are so many incidents of this type in the books of hadith. Some are lengthy, some are in short and brief. But there are different incidents of different companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after accepting Islam, reporting about how they treated their daughters. You have heard this afternoon also. But for our sisters, when people were still debating whether women are human beings or animals, when they had absolutely no rights, when there was no question of inheritance, there was no dignity, no honor for them, they were treated as doormats. At that time, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them rights. Girls, when they were born, the faces of the people changed completely. The faces of the people changed completely. You could see that the person is terribly disturbed and is terribly upset that why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give him a daughter. That was their condition. There are different riwayats. One is of a sahabi who is sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has a little child, a little girl, 2 or 3 year old girl, who is sitting with him. And he kisses this child, looks at the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then again kisses the child, and again looks at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, is everything okay? Why do I see this behavior of yours? It looks like there's something strange. There's some thoughts that are going on in your mind. I'm explaining it to you. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is my niece, my brother's daughter. I don't have any daughters of mine. For Allah ta'ala did bless me with one daughter. But what I did to her is running through my mind. After your coming, even my niece is beloved to me. And before your coming, even my own daughter was hated in my sight. He says, this is what I am thinking of, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what change your coming has brought into my life, that there was a time when my own daughter I hated, and today after your coming and after my accepting your deen, even my sister, my brother's daughter is beloved to me. This is what I'm thinking. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, what happened? So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my wife gave birth to a daughter, and for some time she managed to hide this daughter from my sight. For some time, for a few years, she must have sent her away somewhere whilst I was on a journey. And this daughter grew up. After I came back, probably she made some excuses that this is somebody else's daughter, but she's in the house. But then finally, how long are you going to hide the facts? So one day he says, I was sitting. This pretty young daughter of mine, 5 or 6 years of age, she came and grabbed me around my waist and said, oh my dear father, how long will I remain a yatim in spite of you being my father? In spite of you being my father, how long am I going to remain yatim? Being treated like a yatim, an orphan, and yet you are alive, you are my father. So he says, straight away, thoughts began to run in my mind. That hatred again came up, that one day I will have to give this daughter of mine in marriage to someone, and I will have to provide for this child. And that hatred for girls which they had, he says it again, the flames rose high. Then after some time, he says, I took the string, and I said that I am going to gather some firewood. So I took the hoe and the string and we went. When we went, it says we began to dig. I began to dig a trench. So he asked me, so I asked him, why are you doing this? So he didn't reply. So I didn't reply. She said, Father, the dust is settling on your clothes. So he says, this little daughter of mine, she takes the scarf that she had and she dusts my clothes. She says, Father, the dust is settling on your beard. She dusts my beard. She says, Father, let me help you. So she also helps me in digging the trench. After that, when she realized, when I began to push her and she realized that this was dug for her, she said, leave me. If you don't want me to live with you, then leave me. I will remain in the jungles. I will eat of the trees, or some animal will come and eat me up. but don't do this to me. Says the more she pleaded, the more I pushed her. And of course she was weak, I pushed her. And then when I began to cover the sand over her body, then at that time the last words which I heard of hers, "Oh my dear father, irham, have mercy on me." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was tearing. The sahabas were tearing. So he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I understand what I did was wrong. But this is what I am trying to imagine, that what change came about after your coming. What we were and what we are. What I was and what I am." He says, "This change happened because of your coming." This is just one incident. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so he was a mercy for the women folk. He gave them haya and he gave them sharam and modesty. He gave them rights in inheritance and he gave them rights in so many other things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we always think was a mercy for the believers. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was even a mercy for the disbelievers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his desire was that every person accept Islam and he connects himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And for this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to take all kinds of torture and hardship. Wo nabiyo me rahmat laqab paane wala murade gareebo ki barlaane wala. Wo nabiyo me rahmat laqab paane wala murade gareebo ki barlaane wala. Musibat mein ghairo ke kaam aane wala, wo apne paraye ka gham khane wala. So in all the anbiya, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received this title of rahmatul lil alameen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not come for any specific group. Other anbiya, they came for a specific period of time, or they came for a specific nation or people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ, that we sent you for all the people. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent for all the people until the day of Qiyamah. For the black and for the white, for the Asian and for the American and for the European and for everybody and for the African. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi for all times. And therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's desire, he was a rahmat for all, because that was his desire, that every person must come out from kufr and shirk and connect himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had informed all the nabis of the past of the coming of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Although he came last, but the first thing that was created was his nur. The first thing that Allah ta'ala created was the nur of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So although he came last as a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he was also the first. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Ghafurur Rahim. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is Raufur Rahim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned so much of the sifats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his name itself, Hazrat Amina was informed that she must keep this name, Muhammad. The name of Rasul Pak Rasam in the books of the past was Ahmad. And every book had a mention of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. In fact, in some books, in almost every page was Rasul Pak Rasam's mention. إِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. So that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also gave basharat of the coming of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and that his name will be Ahmad. So the books of the past mention Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam many, many times. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, everybody recognized him when he came. But due to enmity, due to hatred, due to jealousy, due to malice, they refused to accept Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's message. But what I was explaining is this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rahmat for everyone. And this was his desire, that every person comes out of kufr and shirk and connects himself with Allah Ta'ala and becomes worthy of entry into Jannat. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is passing by and he hears that there's one Yahudi child who is very sick and he's in Sakrat. There's one Yahudi child, Jewish child, and he's very sick and he's in Sakrat. If you and I heard that, we will just walk past and we will say that he's a Yahudi, so let him go to hell. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment he hears this, he tells his companions, let's go inside. They go inside and they find, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees that the father of this child is reading the Torah at the head of the side of this child. So he asks the father, that is my mention made in that book of yours? Is there my name mentioned in that Torah which you are reading? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew fully well that it is there. So the father said, no, it's not mentioned here. So the child who was in Sakrat suddenly opened his eyes and said, he is speaking a lie, it's mentioned in there. My father is speaking a lie, it is mentioned in there. It's a long incident, but after that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tells him to accept Islam, to read the kalima. He reads the kalima, becomes a Muslim, becomes worthy of entry into Jannat, and passes away. No namaz, no roza, no zakat, no hajj, nothing he did. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's attending to him and making him read the kalima made him worthy of Jannat. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam returns home and tells Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And whenever Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha saw the smile on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face, she knew that something good had happened. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he entered the home smiling, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha could make out that something very, very pleasing to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taken place. And he informed her that this is what has happened, that this person who was going to Jahannam, he has been saved and he is going to Jannat. Oh Aisha, prepare the water for his ghusl. And for kafan, if you don't have anything else, then give this sheet of mine for this child. This sheet of mine, give it for his kafan. That was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was rahmat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that if a person has done injustice to a non-Muslim, a disbeliever, if a Muslim has done injustice to a non-Muslim, on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I will be the wakil or advocate on his behalf. I'm not talking about Muslim. We take Muslims wholesale for a ride and we think nothing of it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about non-Muslim. He says that that person who does injustice to a non-Muslim, so many of us, we cheat, we deceive, we commit fraud, and we think that that is a non-Muslim, so what does it matter? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, on the day of Qiyamah, I will be his advocate, I will be his wakil, and I will make sure that that person, justice is done to him. We will say, what justice will be done? Because that person, what will it help him? If he was a disbeliever, he will still go to Jahannam. It will help him because to some degree that punishment and azab in Jahannam will be reduced. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a rahmat even for them. Animals, the animal is standing and they should just cut a piece of meat from the animal. So merciless they were. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the believers how to slaughter the animal. Mercy must be shown to the animal. The knife must be sharp and all the other details that go with it. Don't slaughter one animal in front of the other. Which person would have thought of all these things? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a rahmat for everyone. And he was concerned about every little thing that would harm any person. Little, little things. For example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those days there was lanterns and lamps. He says that when you are going to sleep, then switch off those lamps or the lanterns. Now that is something we will say that common sense will tell a person. Although we say common sense, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. So he says when you're going to sleep, then switch off that lamp or lantern. Sometime it could happen that one cat comes and topples it. Or a rat could come and topple it. and then your house will catch on fire. So he says that, put that lamp off. From there we get a lesson that the ladies at home, they should check that the iron is off, the stove is off, and anything else which can suddenly catch on fire or make the house catch on fire, switch it off. It doesn't mean that if he only mentioned the lamp, so now if you don't have a lamp at home, so now it doesn't refer to us. How many times we have heard that the woman was careless, she left the iron on or she left the hot plate on and she got engaged in a conversation, telephonic conversation. Because once the telephone comes, then after that they forget what is on the stove. So in that lengthy conversation, she forgot that the stove was full blast. And next thing, the curtains caught on fire. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that at night, switch off that. He says, cover your pots and pans, your dishes, cover them up. If you've got food in there, you've got milk there, you've got any other item of that is edible, then close it, cover it up. Now this is also, we will say, a simple little thing. But so many times, things are left open. And then some creature or some cockroach or something else might come, and then the same food we will eat, and then we will say food poisoning. Or the rat might come and put its mouth into the milk that was left open. Or the cat might put its mouth. Anything can happen. Now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is rahmatul lil alameen. He doesn't want any kind of injury and pain to come upon any ummati of his. That was his concern. I'm not talking about the big things. I'm talking about the simple little things. That if you have to look at that also, how to enter the toilet and how you should relieve yourself and how you should make istinja, even that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will talk about him especially in this month of Rabiul Awwal, the whole month. But we fail to understand that our love for Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demands that we take a lesson from his teachings and we implement it in our lives, and that we realize that if that Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not want us to suffer from food poisoning, he did not want us to be burnt, he did not want us to be hurt or injured, he did not want us to be harmed in any way, then you think the laws of Sharia which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has asked us to implement in our lives, can any law of Sharia be such that it will cause us harm and injury? Will any law of Sharia be such that it will be difficult for the ummah? Yes, if we have changed our environment and we have made things difficult for ourselves, then we must blame ourselves. Don't blame Sharia and don't blame Deen. Again, I can't help but repeat that example which I gave in the majlis recently too, that there was a woman who looked at the full moon, but she looked at the full moon after she had just changed the napkin of the baby. So when she changed the napkin of the baby, some part of the stool got stuck to her fingernail. Now when she was looking at the moon, the beautiful full moon, so the women folk, when they look up towards the moon, then the finger normally is by the nose. So when she got the smell coming from her fingernail, then she looked at that beautiful full moon and said, "Oh beautiful moon, you are indeed very beautiful. But today it seems, or tonight it seems, that there is a stink in you. There is a filthy smell emanating from you." Now this example is to prove what? That because of our filth, the filth that is in our hearts, we find all the faults in Islam and Sharia. If Islam and Sharia say segregation of the sexes, then we find fault in it. We say it's not practical. It is not possible. If Sharia says parda hijab, then we say that this is transgression of rights. If Sharia says anything about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, then in everything we find a fault. In inheritance laws we find faults and weakness. Whereas all this weakness and all these faults are in us. In Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time there was no inheritance at all for the women folk. And so many people don't give inheritance to their sisters and to their daughters, and their daughters don't receive inheritance from the fathers even today. In many parts of the world there is no question of women getting inheritance as the Quran Sharif has proclaimed. The brothers get together and they say, "Well, give a few hundred rand or a few thousand rupees and that's the end, that's the inheritance, and they will take the balance. But remember, there will be a day of judgment, and on that day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will do justice. Where are we going to go that day? Today we will enjoy that beautiful home because we do not want to share. We do not want to sell it and give the money that is due to the sister or to the aunt or to whomever, soever it is. But on the day of judgment, where are we going to find the wealth to hand over and say that today take your share? There first our blessings will be given away. And after the blessings are gone, all the sawab of that little ibadat that we did, when that is gone, then that person's sins will be put onto our shoulders and then thrown into hellfire. So it seems we are extremely brave enough. Many people's, our actions are such that it seems that we are quite comfortable and brave enough to bear the burn of that fire. But we cannot put our finger onto the fire of this world. But because we haven't got that yaqeen that there is a day of judgment. And this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is how he changed that community. That no amount of speeches could have changed that community. No amount of newspapers and magazines could have changed them. No amount of conferences and seminars could have changed them. No amount of police force could have changed. No amount of laws and regulations could have changed that community. At present, South Africa is not short of laws. And all other countries of the world, there's no shortage of laws in the statute book to prevent crime. Is there any shortage? Plenty of laws, any amount of laws. But we all say crime is on the increase. Why? Because no change inside the heart. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did not only give laws. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught them that believe in an Allah who is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. When that belief came into their hearts, then there was no need for any policeman. There was no need for any policeman. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to just go into that life of his as a rahmat for all, we can go on and on. There are so many incidents, and at this very moment I am being flooded, I do not know which incident to take. But let us just go a little further. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, during his lifetime, he was full of rahmat and full of mercy. But even at present, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whilst he is in Rauza Mubarak, he is full of mercy, full of mercy. Hazrat Ubaidullah, Muhammad bin Ubaidullah At-Tawi, rahmatullah alayh, that incident comes to mind, that he says that he was sitting near the Rauza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and a Bedouin came there. This Bedouin came there and he said, he recited the verse of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and which you hear many times when the talks are given on Madina Sharif, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, if only those people who had harmed themselves, they had done injustice upon their own souls. When a person commits sins, he is not harming Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He is not harming Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is harming himself. Is zalamu anfusahum. If only those who had harmed themselves, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, if they had come to you, ja'uk, they came to you, and after coming to you, then they seek forgiveness for their sins, they make tawbah themselves. And, oh my beloved Rasul, you also seek forgiveness on their behalf. When they come to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are making tawbah and istighfar for their sins, and they tell you also, O Rasul of Allah, we have sinned, and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to forgive us. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. They would have found Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to be most forgiving and most merciful. So they say he recited this, and after that he recited a short poetry. And in that poetry he said, oh, the one who is the most honored of those who is buried in the earth. The one most honored of those who is buried in the earth. That means in the world many, many people were buried. Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam were buried. Right from Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time. Besides Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was raised up to the heavens. Say, Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam were buried. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he will come back, then he too will be buried next to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, so many people were buried in the earth, great awliya, great walis, great shuhada, but the most honored of everyone that was buried in the earth, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is yourself. Oh, the most honored of those buried in the earth. What did that burial do? It gave even that earth great status. That earth got great honor because of your burial in there. It is a consensus of opinion that piece of ground on which my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body rests is far more precious, far more valuable, and far more greater in status than even the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. What do we see when we go there? If we go there with clean shaven faces and with pants below the ankles upon which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given his curse, and then we read as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah, you think rahmat and blessings and mercy will come out from there? Something that he detested, he disliked, something that he did not even like to see on the faces of his enemies. When two of his enemies came to arrest him, he asked them that, who ordered you to shave your face? He said, our king, our ruler. He said, but my Allah has ordered this, that you lengthen your beard and shorten your mustaches. And lengthen, we don't mean that let it go right down up to your navel. After one fist, cut it. We can say that little verse of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Saab, Rahmatullah Alayh, which you may have by hearted by now, having heard it so many times. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aya hoon. Where can we take the haqeeqat? We can only take the surat. And what does it cost? What does it cost us? For the pleasure of women, for the pleasure of our wives, and for the pleasure of our enemies, we are prepared to follow or go against the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Will they help us in the grave? Will they help us on the day of Qiyamah? That Nabi of Allah who cried for us, that Nabi of Allah who shed his blood for us, that Nabi of Allah whose stones were thrown at him, that Nabi of Allah who fell down unconscious so many times for our sake, that Nabi of Allah who stands whole night in prayer for the sake of the ummah, that Nabi of Allah who cries so much that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has to send Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam so many times and say, oh Nabi of Allah, enough. And even on the day of judgment he is going to cry, and he is going to keep his head in sajda, and he mentions himself that I will cry, and Allah ta'ala will then question him that, oh Nabi of mine, are you still crying here too? You cried in the world. Are you crying here also for that same ummah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will say, how can I go into Jannat until I don't see each and every ummati of mine enter into Jannat? That is the kind of love that he has got for us. And he doesn't want anything from us in return. Everything that he has ordered and commanded, there's great wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's great hikmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every teaching of his is nothing but rahmat, nothing but rahmat, nothing but rahmat. And the further we go away from his teachings, there's nothing but azab, nothing but azab. Whether it is husband-wife relationship, if you go according to Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, there's nothing but rahmat. There will be unity, there will be happiness, and that life will be jannat on earth. That home will be jannat on earth. Parent and children relationship, if the children are following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings and the parents are following Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, then there will be happiness, there will be unity, and that home will be jannat on earth. The children will be the coolness of the eyes of those parents. Client and trader relationship, the same thing again. That if the trader, the seller, he also is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam's teachings, that he is honest, he is truthful, there is no fraudulent dealing, he is not hiding the defect in the article that is there, the agreement which he is making also, he is sincere and truthful, and the client also has got nothing but honesty and truthfulness in him, then that relationship will last until both of them part due to death. In every relationship, whether it is teacher-student relationship, today what are we reading in the newspapers? Teachers and pupils, what is the relationship? The pupils who were supposed to respect the teachers, they are prepared to shoot the teachers. They're prepared to kill them, murder them, slash their car tires if the teacher has to reprimand. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, at least for the Muslims, we are not talking at this moment to those who are disbelievers. We are talking to the Muslim brothers. And alhamdulillah, each and every one of you who is here, I regard you as better than myself. And that I am taking qasam and saying that I regard you as better than myself. For I do not know in which condition my death will come. So how can I regard myself as greater than you? Whatever I am saying, it is so that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala may give me and give you the tawfiq to understand that that rahmatul lil alameen who suffered so much, doesn't he have any right? Doesn't he have any rights over us? So when are we going to fulfill those rights? So his teachings with regard to everything is nothing but rahmat. Yes, I was telling you about that tabi, Hazrat Muhammad bin Ubaidullah. He says that Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's roza, this per Bedouin came, and this is the ayat he recited. And after that ayat, he said that, O thou who is the most honored of those that are buried in the earth, that even the earth got its beauty and the earth got its greatness and honor because of that burial of yours. Nafsil fida'u li qabrin anta sakinuhu. Nafsil fida'u li qabrin anta sakinuhu. Fihi al-afafu wa fihi al-judu wal-karamu. And then he said, may my life be sacrificed over that grave in which there is nothing but virtue, goodness and generosity. He's saying, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wish my life be sacrificed over this grave of yours. Because at the moment in this grave is nothing but virtue, nothing but goodness, nothing but generosity and kindness, nothing but rahmat, nothing but mercy and forgiveness. Say, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there, so all the goodness of his is there. And Allah Ta'ala has given him a life, and we believe in that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that when people read salat and salam from anywhere in the world, then there are angels who carry that salam and convey it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna lillahi malaikatan sayyahina fil ard. That these angels, they roam about the earth, and they carry the salam of the people that are reciting it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But when the person is reciting salam, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, I listen to it personally. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is rahmat even now. And I was giving you this incident to illustrate that. And then he says, وَصَاحِبَاكَ فَلَا أَنْسَاهُمَا أَبَدًا مِنِّ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَا جَرَى الْقَلَمُ. And oh my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these two companions of yours, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anuma, I can never ever forget them, their ihsan that is on us. People can swear them, curse them and say what they like. How can they be Muslims if they are cursing the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? How can they be Muslims if they hate the shaykhain, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and say that the khilafat was snatched away by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an? So he says, these two companions of yours, I can never forget them. And from my side, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may salam be upon you until the pens go on writing till the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Abdullah Muhammad bin Ubaidullah, he says that I heard this person say this, and then after a little while I fell asleep. I just dozed off. And in the dream I see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, search for that Bedouin and tell him that what you have just said and what you have just asked, I made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and it has been accepted. You are forgiven. But go there with respect for that place. Don't go there with the bad habits of South Africa back into Madinah Sharif. Go there realizing that when you are standing at the roza of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you are being x-rayed. If people of this world who are pious and righteous, there are so many of them, Allah Ta'ala has given them kashf. Allah Ta'ala has given them sight that they can see things which we cannot see with our eyes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what kind of kashf he must have got. So at that time, purify the hearts, make a lot of tawbah, istighfar, and make a firm determination not to go back to those sins. And then read salat and salam and see what noor it brings into the heart. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rahmat for the old, rahmat for the young, rahmat for the weak, rahmat for the women, rahmat for the animals, rahmat for the creatures, rahmat for everyone. One camel comes and tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam something in the ears. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam brings the camel comes close, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting and says something in the ears. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whose camel is this? Call that person. When that person comes, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this camel is complaining that you overwork it and you don't feed it properly. So do justice to this animal. Now that Nabi of Allah who is asking us to do justice to that animal, then how much more just we must be in our dealings. So whether it is our ibadat, our zikr, our tilawat and all our other works and activities, bring it in accordance with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings and then see the rahmat in there, see the noor in there, see the barkat in there. Barkat in the home, unlimited you will find. There was a time when one grandfather used to work. I have seen it with my own eyes. 40 years ago, 45 years ago. There were so many shops. Just one old person used to run that shop. One old person. And how many people used to eat? 15, 16 people used to eat. Without exaggeration, 15, 16 people used to eat. Daughters, sons, the wife, aunties, uncle, so many people used to live in one home. Communal style of living there was those days. But just one person used to work, and he used to employ only male staff in that business. And still, 15, 16 people used to eat. And from that, they used to give charities for masjids, for madrasas. And from that money, they used to go for Hajj and Umrah. And from that money, they used to send to their relatives in India. And it is no exaggeration, I'm speaking in the masjid. So much of barakat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala used to give them in their little earning. Today the father is working, the mother is working, the daughter is working, the sister is working. Everybody in the family is working. And at the end of the day we say we cannot make ends meet, there's no barakat. So haven't we gone wrong somewhere? If the car is not working right, if the engine is stalling all the time, then we will not say that all engines are like this. We will say something is wrong with this engine. If just one or two cars or some a few cars the engine is stalling, then we will say there's some dirt in the engine. Get it unclogged, get it cleared out. Because this engine should be running very, very fast. So at present our engines are clogged up. There's so much of dirt in there, there's so much of filth in there. And to unclog that is nothing but getting back to the way of life of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I have explained many times, does not mean that you have to go into a 2x2 room and you have to eat only dal. Nothing like that. You will eat good food, you will wear good clothes, you will follow the Sharia. You will live in a good home if Allah Ta'ala provides it, and you will be happy and cheerful and smiling and talking and joking and laughing with the family and with friends. But duniya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. But in everything you will be just ba khuda with Allah tabaraka wa taala. Brothers, there is something. I'm not just telling you stories, there is something in it. Just requires a little bit of determination. What will we get in that life of sin, and where is it going to take us to? Many times I have mentioned that get a person after 50 years of committing zina and adultery, fornication. Ask him that, what did you get after 50 years? Now, can you still have that same taste and enjoyment that you had in the 50 years? Or have you got something now stocked up in you that you can now produce and say that Alhamdulillah, na'uzu billahi min zalik, that after all these sins, I've got so much of things stored in me, so much of noor. At the end of the day, it'll be nothing but diseases, sickness, ill health. After watching all that filth on the television screen, after watching for 3 hours or 6 hours or 24 hours, ask yourself one question, that what did I now gain, except that it was just pictures that came before my eyes and went and spoiled my eyesight, spoiled my head, spoiled my memory, and spoiled my mind, and clouded my and put all the filth onto my heart. That is the end result. After watching one filthy film, ask the person, what did you get now? What has it brought inside the heart? So even if 60 years or 100 years the person commits sins, at the end of the day it is nothing but azab, restlessness, and especially at present the suicides that are taking place, the murders and killings on account of jealousy and envy, and especially our young boys and girls who are getting caught up in the universities and colleges and schools, And even in primary schools, ask me, I can tell you the amount of cases that we are coming across, the restlessness that the parents are suffering, the restlessness that the parents are suffering because of what the children are now doing, the drugs and the drink and everything else. But who is it that took them into that direction? The parents were not to be seen anywhere when the children were going around in that line. Because the parents also said that Maulana is brainwashing. I get letters sometime, Maulana, you are brainwashing. I said, Alhamdulillah, at least somebody is acknowledging that I've got some kind of brainwashing powder. I'm very happy about that. Because normally you have to crack the skull and remove the brain and then wash. But if I can do some washing without cracking the skull, Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy. So when the communists, the atheists, and all the different ideologies of the world are brainwashing our youth, at that time we are not concerned. But if some young person starts changing his life, he starts coming to the masjid, he starts making some sajda and zikr and tilawat, and if that young person says that now I don't want to join you and accompany you to the cinema and to the theater and to the movies, because now I've got an enjoyment in my heart, there is an enjoyment, there's a pleasure. It's not that we are bored in our lives, Alhamdulillah, and we are perfect human beings. We have also got ears, eyes, hands, feet and everything. And it's not that music does not tempt us. It does not that mean that our eyes have become like rocks, that when pretty women are walking, we do not want to stare at them. But there is some taste and enjoyment in obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam and taking that pain on the heart and allowing the heart to be shattered. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala immediately gives such noor in that heart and He gives such sweetness in that heart that if only we can taste that sweetness, then we will give up all this filth in our life. And our life will become so pleasant and such a happy one. Allah wants to give us enjoyment in this world. He wants to give us enjoyment in the qabr and He wants to give us enjoyment in the akhirat. So just a little bit of courage and himmat is required. Fight that nafs and shaitan like lions. Don't be like fox, and then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will draw us towards Him. Allah with His quwwat and power of jazb will take us away towards Him. And He'll make our life extremely easy, that in the midst of all this filth, and in the midst of all the fitnas, and in the midst of all the fasad, but Allah ta'ala will protect this person. And accidentally, if he commits some sins, then his tawbah and istighfar will again light up that heart and bring such noor inside. Alhamdulillah, many, many people are now changing and they are saying that what we were and what we are, what it has done to our lives. When we were going in that direction, we were restless. We couldn't sleep at night. Telephone calls after the phone has been kept, he says, again restlessness until we don't make another call. And if we make another call, then restlessness again until the next call. And after that again, if you meet, then there must be a parting. And in that parting, again, there's restlessness and anxiety and worries. And again, if that person is a married person, then the restlessness increase even further. What happiness is that in watching all these sinful things or indulging in sins? What do we get at the end of the day? And take that person who has spent 20 years, 15 years, 20 years in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, and enjoying himself also. Nobody says mustn't have picnic at a good, nice, secluded spot if it's a place that is clear of all other filth. Nobody says that you must not be happy and cheerful with your family and do not talk to them and laugh and joke. You must be extremely happy in the home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with all his worries and burdens, but he always walked into the house with a smile. He left his problems outside. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not allow that to affect his relationship with his wife or his children. So there's so much we can speak on the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but just as I mentioned earlier, that there was nothing planned, and I made dua that, Ya Allah, whatever is beneficial for me and for the others, put it into my mind. So I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq to make amal, and give us the tawfiq to study the seerat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Just as we study so many other things, study the seerat and life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and see how much of rahmat there is in all the things that he left behind for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہماری گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما Oh Allah, in the blessed month of Rabiul Awwal, you sent Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this world. He was rahmatul lil alameen. He was a rahmat for everyone. Oh my Allah, we did not appreciate this rahmat, shan and sifat of his. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because of this sifat of rahmat, oh my Allah, he cried for the ummat. He cried for the ummat everywhere. He cried for the ummah even at the time of passing away. He will cry on the day of judgment for the ummah. Oh my Allah, on Mondays and Thursdays when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed of the condition of his ummah, that ummah for whom you teared so much, that ummah for whom you cried so much, that ummah for whom you shed so much of blood, that ummah for whom you fell down unconscious so many times, that ummah for whom, for the sake of whom thorns were placed in your path, that ummah for the sake of whom intestines of animals were placed on your back, that ummah today is in the casinos, that ummah today in the wild coast and sun city, that ummah today in gambling dens, in cinemas and in theaters, the homes of that ummah today flooded with all kinds of filthy video films. Oh my Allah, when my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informed of this condition of his ummah, then in his time the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara, they were the cause of his injury and pain. But oh my Allah, we will be the cause of his injury and pain. Ey mere pyare khuda, is mubarak mahine ke andar, mere pyare Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ki seerat par ہمیں عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما اور زندگی بھر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا اللہ give us the determination, یا اللہ give us the determination to come out of our sinful way of life. یا اللہ give us the توفیق to make sincere توبہ from all our sins. Oh my Allah, we are indulging in so much of sins that there's nothing but darkness all around. یا اللہ those sins from which Nabi علیہ السلام took the ummah out, Ya Allah, they were indulging in gambling, in rape. Oh Allah, they were killing, they were murdering, they were drinking. They were committing all kinds of sins prior to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's coming. But when they accepted Islam and they gave up those sins, then oh my Allah, they did not return to them. Oh my Allah, we are now going back to that same way of life. Ey mere Allah, hum par raham farma aur karam farma. Ey mere Rahim, Kareem Allah, hum kab tak is guna ki zindagi aur ghaflat ki zindagi mein pade rahenge? Ya Allah, how long are we going to remain slaves of our nafs and shaitan? Ya Allah, how long is shaitan going to draw us by the neck? How long is shaitan going to call us towards him? Ya Allah, how long are we going to allow the nafs to dominate over our lives? Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to become superior. Oh my Allah, give us the tawfiq to suppress the evil desires that come into our hearts. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to suppress those evil desires. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health. Ya Allah, forgive the sins which we committed, which were major sins or minor sins. Ya Allah, hamare har guna ko maaf farma. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Oh my Allah, you know everything that we have done. There is nothing that has been hidden from your sight. Oh Allah, even if there is a tiny little black ant that crawls on a pitch black rock in the darkest of the darkest of all nights. Oh my beloved Allah, you are aware of the movement of that ant. Then how can you not be aware of the zina, the fornication and adultery that we commit? How can you not be aware of the cinemas and theaters that we visit? Oh Allah, how can you not be aware of the gambling dens that we frequent? Oh Allah, how can you not be aware of the drugs that we put down into our system? Ey mere Allah, give us the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa. Ey mere Allah, ab to hame maaf farma de. Hamare aankhon ke gunahon ko maaf farma. Forgive the sins of our eyes, oh my Allah. Forgive the sins of our ears, oh my Allah. Forgive the sins of our tongues, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, so many people, they were born blind. They haven't seen the colors of the rainbow as yet. Ya Allah, they haven't seen the faces of their parents. Ya Allah, they haven't seen the sun and the moon and the stars. Ya Allah, they haven't seen the waters of the ocean with the naked eyes. Oh my Allah, they have been born blind. What a great ni'mat you gave to us, that is the sight. Ya Allah, we are using this sight in all the wrong places. Ya Allah, do not seize us. Oh my Allah, if there had been another Allah, he would have seized us the moment we committed the sins. The moment we saw haram, he would have made us blind. The moment we heard haram, he would have made us deaf. The moment we spoke haram, he would have made us dumb. The moment we touched haram with our hands, he would have made us paralyzed. The moment we kissed something that was haram for us to kiss, oh my Allah, he would have seized us immediately. Ey mere Allah, how merciful and forgiving you are. How kind and compassionate you are, that in spite of the sins that we have committed, you are giving us so much to eat and drink. Ey mere Allah, tere jaise pyara pyara khuda koi nahi. Hamara sahara bas tu hi hai mera khuda. Tere siwa hamara koi nahi hai. There is no one for us, oh my Allah, besides you. Oh my Allah, if you are not going to forgive us, the Then you tell us which are the door is there for us that we can tap. Which are the home is there for us in which we can go and beg. Ya Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, human beings become angry and annoyed and displeased if we beg of them. But oh my Allah, these begging bowls you have attached to our bodies. And we are extending them before you, O Allah, on the eve of the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Ya Allah, it was on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, according to Moses, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born. Oh my beloved Allah, but it was again the 12th of Rabiul Awwal that my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam parted from this world. Ya Allah, that was an occasion in which the people teared so much. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an. Oh Allah, how difficult it must have been for them to see Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam leaving this world. Ya Allah, those eyes which were glued to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face all their lives. Ya Allah, those eyes could see him no more. Those ears could hear his voice no more. Oh Allah, those tongues could speak to him no more. Oh Allah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an. Ya Allah, the wives of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 124,000 companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, it was as if darkness had set into the whole universe again for them. Ya Allah, what a parting that was of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But then, oh my Allah, the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they passed the message on to us. They made so much of sacrifices so that we become believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak Eve, we are seeking from you forgiveness of all the sins. Amen. Our life which has melted away, we cannot bring any drop of that life back. But Ya Allah, the life which is left, we are seeking from you the tawfiq to do those things which are pleasing to you. Amen. Oh my Allah, we have got sick and ailing people amongst us. Ya Allah, we have got sick and ailing in our families. We have got sick and ailing in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them cure from all their diseases and sicknesses. Ya Allah, cure us from our spiritual ailments and our physical ailments. Ya Allah, cure us from our physical and our spiritual ailments. Ya Allah, in hospitals which our brothers and sisters may be lying, Ya Allah, give them complete cure from their illness. Ya Allah, and all our brothers and sisters who have passed away, forgive them. If our parents have passed away, forgive them. Ya Allah, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ey mere Allah, tu hamare gunaho ko maaf kar de. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of envy, of jealousy, of pride, of arrogance. Ya Allah, of the evil desires and passions. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to fight against nafs and shaitan like lions. Ya Allah, one day Malakul Maut is going to come. There is no question of him not visiting us. Daily he is visiting so many people. Ya Allah, young, fit and healthy people are leaving this world. In accidents, people are gone within seconds. Ya Allah, in holdups and shootings and murders, people are gone in seconds. Never to return to this earth. Oh my Allah, one day we too have to leave this world. Ya Allah, do not let the angel of death visit us when we are in a casino. Do not let the angel of death find us in adultery or fornication. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin. Oh my Allah, since we do not know when the angel of death is going to visit us, therefore give us the tawfiq to stay away from all sins. Ya Allah, give us a life of happiness and joy, a life of comfort and satisfaction, a life of prosperity. Ya Allah, bless us with the light of satisfaction. Ya Allah, those who are suffering financial problems, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and get them out of their financial problems. There is no limit to your treasures, oh my Allah. We are seeking from you, oh my Allah. Ay mere Allah, ab to hame maaf kar de. Ya Allah, remove everybody's difficulties and hardships. Unite the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ay mere Allah, mere pyare Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ko kitni takleef pahunchti hogi when he is informed that his whole ummah is disunited. Parents and children disunited, brothers and sisters disunited, the entire ummah torn into fragments and pieces. Ya Allah, that ummah for whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shed so much of tears and blood to make them one ummah. Ya Allah, today over petty material things we have torn the ummah into pieces. Ay mere Allah, ab to hame maaf farma de. Ya Allah, hamara khatima iman ke upar farma. Ya Allah, hamara khatima iman ke upar farma. Ya Allah, assist the mujahideen all over the world. Assist the mujahideen all over the world. Ya Allah, those on whom zulm and injustice has been done, Ya Allah, if they are living, oh my Allah, remove their difficulties and hardships and problems, especially Ya Allah, those Muslims who have become refugees in so many parts of the world. Or ay mere pyare Khuda, give hidayat to those who are unjust rulers. And oh my Allah, if hidayat is not in their muqaddar, then destroy them like you destroyed the Aad and the Samud. Ya Allah, deen ke jitne kaam bhi ho rahe hai, sabko qubool farma. Ay mere pyare Khuda, hame sehat de, afiyat de, izzat. izzat de. Ya Allah, sehat, afiyat, izzat, salamati naseeb farma. Har qisam ki zillat aur ruswai se hamari hifazat farma. Oh my Allah, we are being attacked and lashed and bombarded by fitnas from all sides. Oh my Allah, fitnas in our homes, fitnas in our bazaars, fitnas in our shops and businesses, fitnas in our offices, fitnas in our schools and colleges. Oh my Allah, if you are not going to save us and protect us, then how are we going to protect ourselves? Ay Allah, ab to hum par raham farma le, karam farma le. Ay Allah, hum tere nabi ke ummati hai, hum gunegar hai, nalayak hai, hum siyakar hai, hum gande hai, hum napaak hai, lekin tere pyare nabi rahmatul lil alamin ke ummati hai. Ya Allah, wo rahmatul lil alamin nabi the. Oh my Allah, my beloved nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alamin, and he will accept sinful ones like us. Oh my Allah, he was rahmatul lil alamin. With his wasila we are seeking from you that, oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ay mere pyare khuda, mere pyare nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ne zindagi bhar hamare liye duaye mangi. Ya Allah, all his life he made duas for us. Oh Allah, all the duas of goodness that he made for us, bless us with that goodness, bless our parents with that goodness, bless our wives and children with that goodness, bless our brothers and sisters with that goodness, bless the entire ummah of Rasul Pak from that goodness, and from all the fitnas and all the fasad and from all the harm that he asked for protection. Ya Allah, protect us from it, protect our parents, protect our brothers and sisters, protect our wives and children, protect our family members, and protect the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. اے میرے پیارے خدا, میرے پیارے نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے خاص کر کے حجت الوداع کے موقع پر جو دعائیں مانگی امت کے لیے, حجر اسود کو چوم کر کے جو مانگا, رکن یمانی کو چھو کر کے جو میرے نبی نے مانگا, میرے پیارے نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے مطاف میں چل کر کے جو مانگا, میزاب رحمت کے نیچے کھڑے ہو کر کے رو رو کے جو تجھ سے مانگا. یا اللہ, after attaching himself to the multazam, how long he teared and he made dua for us. Ya Allah, behind the Muqam Ibrahim, how much of duas he made. After Zamzam duas, on Safa and Marwa duas, at Mina duas, that masoom and sinless Nabi is not forgetting us in any occasion. Ya Allah, he's making so much of duas for us. And especially in Arafat, from Zohar till Maghrib, that sinless masoom Nabi is extending his hands before you and he's praying for the Ummah. Ya Allah, all the goodness that he asks, bless us and bless the entire Ummah with it. And from all the fitnas that he asks for protection, protect all of us and protect the entire Ummah. Ya Allah, those young brothers of ours who cannot find a suitable match, oh my Allah, bless them with a suitable match. And oh Allah, those young sisters of ours who cannot seem to find a suitable match, Ya Allah, you are the one who is Hakim, who is all-knowing, who is wise, and you have all power over everything. Ya Allah, find them suitable partners, Ameen, so that it may be a protection for their iman and for their deen, and so that, oh Allah, it may be a strengthening of their deen and their relationship with you. In these times of fitna, oh my Allah, make it extremely easy for all of them. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.